Question number one for this morning. How did you get here today? So audience participation, hands in the air, when this is you. Okay, so you can look around and see what other people say as well. So how did you physically get here today? Did anybody walk? Oh, very good. Sunny day, very good. That's very good. I'm very impressed. How about bike? No bikes. No Lycra today is probably a good thing. As everybody testifies when I turn up to work at the Vineyard Centre. Just go away with that Lycra. Moped. We can tell we're not in continental Europe. Motorbike. Three-wheeler. Okay, how about van? Who came in the van? Yes, come in the van. Vans are always good. If you want to have a drive in the van, then sign up for the setup team. It's great. It's van driving and lifting. Get in. What could be better? Also, maybe not for everyone, but do that. How about who came as a passenger in a car? Passenger in car. Here we go. And who came as the driver in the car? All done. Good. Thank you for your participation. It's really great that you're here today, and I'm really glad you got here, and it's really great to see you. But let me ask you the same question, but take it to a deeper level, in terms of how did you get here today? So I wonder which people in your life actually influenced you being here today. So who could it be, and why you made the decision to actually be here today? For some of you, you might be reflecting back over years and years and many, many people. And for others, you might just be reflecting over weeks or days or even hours and just a few people. And maybe some of you who are here just came across us through the website, but who influenced you actually going to look at that website? And I'm sure all of you have got a story of how you got here, even though some of you may be wondering why on earth you are here. But you're welcome too. And if you've come for the car boot sale, I'm very sorry that was last week. But please do stay. And I'm sure, and I hope you'll get more than the bargain you were seeking of last week. But also I hope that however you came here and got here this morning, whatever your circumstances, whatever your state of mind, whatever your health, your wealth, your well-being, basically, whatever those things, I hope that this morning you get to meet with Jesus. Because it's as we meet with Jesus that lives start to change, and the lives around us start to change as well. So let me tell you a story from the Bible about somebody who met Jesus. This story is very much at the start of when Jesus went public in his work, in a three-year process. We read about it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. If you want to turn to that in your Bibles. If you've not brought your Bible with you, or if you don't have one, there's some on the tables. And if you would like to take one home with you, and that'd be great, or give one to a friend who doesn't have a Bible, then that's great too. Please take that as a gift. Okay, so I'm going to read from Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. If you've got one of these blue ones, it's page 948, and there's a couple of red ones lying around. And it's somewhere near 948. That might help. But it's also going to be on the screen to read it as well. So let's read from this. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. I'm going to read a bit more, but just to give a bit of context, so many people were there. And why were so many people there? They were gathered there because a few days earlier, Jesus had been teaching in the synagogue in that area. And people were amazed not only by what he said, but also the authority in which he spoke as well. And the teaching of Jesus that seemed to reveal to the people, to them, about the story of God. And also loads of people were being healed as well. So lots of people at this time are being drawn to Jesus. Let's read on for verses 3 down to 12. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So this Jesus said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This amazed everyone is a slight understatement, I think. There are many things that we can learn from and analyze within this story, and within this short story of the Bible. But this morning, what I want to focus on is the role of the friends of the paralyzed man. These friends wanted their friend to meet Jesus. They went through the roof for their friend. But can you imagine, can you think of people you know, your friends, relatives, and neighbors, getting to meet Jesus? Wouldn't that be great? And it's not like joining a club or a society, but they actually get to live life with Jesus and have a restored relationship with God the Creator. So let us be friends like this, and friends who take people to Jesus. Friends whose diaries, whose actions, whose finances, wallets or purses, prayers and speech all take people to Jesus. And when we read this story in Mark, we see that the friends are actually really, really crucial to what goes on. We read in this story that Jesus said he saw their faith and then said to the man, the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And we have that faith in Jesus and faith on behalf of our friends as well. And your faith, your friends, is absolutely crucial. It's crucial and critical because it's your faith and actions that give people the opportunities to meet with Jesus. So, let's have a little think. Say, for example, this morning, some of you haven't turned your phones off, not that you have to. Your text messages start going off, and you get this, and the message is that Jesus is going to be on Otley Chevin at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Okay? So, and it's also confirmed by somebody with an iPhone who's checked the BBC website and done that. And also ratified by somebody who was following Jesus on Twitter. I think it's funny. So, this is the scenario. 3 o'clock today, Jesus Otley Chevin. What would you do? What would you do now to get there? And what would you do now? Would some of you have started running for your cars or the van? Or started walking up to there? But where would you be going? And what would you be doing? Would you be going as fast as you can to get there, to get to the front, to sit next to Jesus? Or would you actually be running as fast as you can to get to your friend's house? The friend who doesn't know Jesus. The friends and people who know you've been praying for, the ones you've been talking to, the ones you've been sharing words and pictures, the ones you've been sharing life with, those you've been hanging around with and getting to know, those who you just wanted to bless in any way you can, or your neighbors. Would you be running to those who are sick and you would love to see get better? And would you be running to get them? Personally, I long for my friends to meet with Jesus, really just to give them the opportunity. It's their opportunity to say yes or no, but I long for them to get the opportunity. And really to get in, to help people and give people the opportunity to meet with Jesus, it really helps to be in relationship with people. And it's really important to say also, I'm not saying about trying to get people to come to a church meeting. I'm talking about giving people the opportunity and their choice to meet with Jesus. And really, this can be difficult in terms of achieving this or doing this or trying this. But the main thing, and what we also learn from the story of Mark, though it was four people, and that was really essential for the teamwork in terms of which they did that, to take that man to see Jesus. So we see in Mark's Gospel, and in the story we've read, is that it's at least four people and people of faith, all dedicated to do all they can to help their friend meet with Jesus. And one person may well have been able to carry the paralyzed man. Decent fireman's lift, I'll get you there, son, all that sort of thing. But really, he might have struggled to get through the roof, and unless he had a really decent pulley system, he might have struggled to get him down towards Jesus. And by the time he'd got there and done that, they would have probably cleared off somewhere else anyway. So really, what it shows is it needs a team, and it had to have a team. So what team can you be part of? A team where you can get together and pray for your friends. And is there another Christian you know, somebody else who follows Jesus, who knows the friends you're praying for? And you're trying to show God's love in a practical way and wanting them to introduce them to Jesus. And what role can you play with the friends of your Christian friends when you meet them? And if they throw a party and you all go round and everybody's there, are you just going to hang around with your mates from here? Or are you going to walk across the room and say that you know this person because you both follow Jesus? Or you can be part of a team. There's lots of great teams that you can be part of in Wharfdale Vineyard, like the Friday Night Project, reaching out to the young people in Leeds, or Belly Buttons, which for mums and small children, and dads if they turn up as well, like I did this week. Or On the Streets, or Furniture Collection and Delivery, Garden House Maintenance, or Making Meals for People. You are part of the team of Wharfdale Vineyard, and also what's really important is that you're also picked for the team. And Kate and I, when we work together, we work together as a team to host people at our house. And some things we've had great fun doing is mulled wine and mince pies at Christmas, invite the street. We do no trick or treat at Halloween on our street. And we collect Christmas trees with a group of guys as well from here at winter time as well. And certainly, as it's the World Cup coming up, what I'm hoping to do is to put on pre-match barbecues for our neighbours, pre-match barbecues for my football team, and basically people we know, just to get to know them. And also, Kate recently was talking to one of the mums at school. She'd moved into a house, and this new house, and it was a total tip when she got in there. And so Kate had known about this and just heard it, and said, I'll tell you what, I'll get a team of people, and we'll come and sort your house out, and we'll clean it with you. And it was great, because Kate just rung up three or four people from here and said, do you want to be on the team? Get your marigolds and a big bottle of bleach, and we'll go and bless this person and help them in terms of their house. And that was great, because the team came together. Unfortunately, we never got to do that, because circumstances changed. But that lady knows that there's a team of people who are willing to do something for her, to bless her, and really just to show who Jesus was to that lady. And I hope you get the impression that as we work in a team and we work together, it's actually can be great fun. And it should really be a natural part of our lives, expressing who we are and using our talents we've been given, really so others can see Jesus. And we shouldn't really just be waiting for a crisis to happen. We should be asking God to help us and show us who we can show Jesus to, in practical ways and also in our conversations. And we all have a different part to play in the team as well. So never discount yourself from being part of this, because as I said, you're picked for this team already. A couple of examples that I've had recently. So there's a friend of mine, I've known him for a long time. He's my hairstylist. I don't have hairdressers, I have a stylist. And apparently. Talking, he said he wanted a Bible for Christmas. He didn't get a Bible for Christmas. So we bought him a Bible for Christmas. And then I said, oh, let's meet up for coffee and learn how to read this thing together. And so we do that. We've done that a couple of times, and we just share life and talk about experiences. What I really love about this guy is, and also this situation, is he now cuts hair for 9 people within Wharfdale Vineyard. And I just love the fact that he gets to learn and understand about Jesus from loads of guys from here. And he really knows Jesus is on his case. And he also knows that we're looking out for him and we wanted to bless him in his life and give him that choice as well. I was at Belly Buttons on Friday I was the only bloke there, and somebody asked me, which one's your child? This is a mums and tots group, by the way. Which one's your child? And I had that sort of moment where I cheekily said, none of them. And so she's like, freak, get him out! But fortunately, I explained who I was, and I was actually doing the talk for that morning to the mums. And I love what everyone does there, because it's about sharing life with each other, sharing who Jesus is, but also really looking out for each other and working as a team when people are bringing up young children, having babies, those things. And that's really great about sharing life and helping to show people who Jesus is. And why would we not want to share the most important thing in our lives? And God will give us opportunities to pray for people, to bless them and help them. He'll give opportunities for us to speak into their lives. And this is where we need to take a risk and actually do it. And it's really actually good to scare yourself every now and again with doing this as well, because it makes you feel alive and it sticks you on the edge. And teamwork is good and necessary, as we've seen. Those four men carrying the paralyzed man, they had to all be together on it. But one other quality that they showed amazingly well was persistence. I was talking to Sam, who's our eldest lad, he's 8 years old, about this story of the paralyzed man. And I said, what do you think of it? And his response was really simple and great. He said, they chose the hardest way to get in. And that's great. They did indeed choose, they had to choose the hardest way for their friend to see Jesus. They broke open a roof, which although it was probably a flat roof, would probably be a very, very difficult task. I think if we go back to Otley Shevin, this is about you making the decision that it's going to be tough to get to Otley Shevin, so you just go and get a helicopter. You just work it out. Right, I'm going to get you, come with me, we're getting in a helicopter, we're going to see Jesus. It's that sort of effort and persistence that they do. Or you go to the fire station and blag a fire engine and go get the ladders up, get all the braking gear and go in through the top of the vineyard centre just to get to see Jesus. I'm not advocating you do that. we don't want to do repairs on the roof. But it's that sort of thing. It's that sort of thing about how far do you go and keeping going, thinking of every way to get it, to do it. And these guys didn't give up. They had to take the hardest way, and they had persistence. And indeed, we need to have that sort of persistence as well. We need to keep going. We need to keep going as a team. We need to keep praying. We keep being a friend. We need to keep hoping. We need to keep faith in Jesus. Keep blessing others. Keep meeting them. Cancelling other stuff so that you can see them, even though they didn't turn up last time. We will put the effort into transporting your kids' friends, hosting something at your house, spending money on going to the cricket, even if you don't like cricket, just to be with people. Tell stories of God at work and risk being labeled religious. And how are we doing that to go through the roof for our friends? It's important to keep having lots of fun in doing this as well, because there is often pain and cost and sacrifice in what we do. But it can be great fun. And it's great to do. So have you ever been through the roof for someone? Have you done whatever it takes to give your friends the opportunity to be in front of Jesus? Whatever it takes, apart from sinning or getting a restraining order, don't go that far, but go persist and keep going. And have you really done what it takes? And are we going to do whatever it takes? And going through the roof for our friends isn't about heroism or indeed vandalism, and we aren't doing it on our own. We're not wrecking other people's stuff to get them to Jesus. It's potentially our inconvenience or our embarrassment, the risk of self-disclosure, the risk of maybe being labeled religious, the risk of maybe getting something wrong, or it's our petrol transporting teenagers or people invading our homes when we're tired, spilling stuff on the carpet. It's spending our money to bless people. It's spending our time to research the hard questions they ask. And also working, as I hope we do every week and everything that we do, working hard as a team to create an environment that actually works for people in the 21st century. because we don't want to have barriers towards Jesus. We just want people to come and be able to see Jesus. And this is all really, really important. It's very much a priority to us. And it's core to the love and respect we have for our friends to introduce them to Jesus. Also, these four men showed a great deal of sacrifice and cost for their paralyzed friend. They wouldn't have been able to work that day, and it would have cost them financially and in their time, and physically, they had a massive effort. And also, intriguingly, you may notice there's another cost in this story. Somebody had to pay for the whacking great hole in the roof. So, who was that? Now, it could have been the paralyzed man, now healed. It could have been others around. But the person I think it's most likely was is one of Jesus' disciples called Simon. I say that because, get this, it was probably his mother-in-law's house that this happened at. If you read through and compare things, it was probably his mother-in-law's house that just got a whacking great hole in the roof. So I'd expect Simon would have probably paid for that or had a decent whip round to do it. Can you imagine having a meeting in your house, in your mother-in-law's house, and then the roof caving in because somebody wants to see Jesus? You would be scrambling around to pay for that. But when people come to know Jesus and let him, somebody is always paid in some way. Somebody has taken the cost and the sacrifice, both in time and money and energy. And someone has paid for you to come into relationship with Jesus. So let's do it for others. Doing what it takes to go through the roof for people so that they can meet Jesus is an absolute privilege. And it's great to do that as part of our lives and that for to be our lives. And you could be in various different situations in this as well. So you may be in places where you don't actually have friends who don't know Jesus. And I certainly understand that situation. And actually, it's much easier and fun sometimes just to hang around with people we like who get where we're coming from. And that's it. That's important to do, but not important to do all the time. And I actually think Jesus is asking us to do more. It's more difficult for me, although you might think it's slightly ironic, leading the church when I've left BT to be around people who don't know Jesus as much. So I keep in contact with my colleagues from BT. I'm also looking for more and more opportunities where I can just go and meet people who don't know Jesus as well. And there's lots of people in Wharfdale Vineyard who very intentionally, over the last 6-12 months, have changed their lives around and done new things so that their friends, they can meet with people, just be authentic with other people who don't know Jesus and do life with them. And I encourage you to do that. If you want to know any help in doing that, then just talk to me and others and we can work together. Or we can just start by getting to know our neighbours more. It could be also that you've got lots of friends and relatives who don't know Jesus, but the problem in this situation is how to actually you can actually break through that and introduce them to Jesus, give them that opportunity. And this is where teamwork and being part of this community is crucial. It may be in being part of the team you can let people who already know and love Jesus get to know your friends and family. And one way we're going to do that this afternoon is, if you fancy it, we're going to go to Roundhay Park. Me and Kate, we've invited some of the mums and dads and their children from school to go and play rounders in the park. Apparently, there's also dragon boat racing going on as well, so it could be slightly crowded. But we're just going to go this afternoon at 3 o'clock and going to go and play rounders just to hang out with our friends and do that sort of thing. So feel free to come along, bring your friends, bring your neighbours, and come along and join in, or find a different park and invite your friends and neighbours to do that. But you're invited to do that. Come and join in. And for those of you who already meet with your friends and relatives and you keep, what I encourage you is to keep getting to know them, keep praying and keep risking, and keep hanging out with them and really look for their needs and where we can get alongside them. And I believe that we do and can make a difference in the world around us. We can make a difference in our workplaces. We can make a difference in our neighborhoods. We can make a difference to people's lives. We can also see families and relationships restored. We can see financial crisis come out of. We can see marriages restored. We can see health restored as well. And I long to see Wharfdale Vineyard people connecting with people and those people meeting Jesus and lives changed. I long to see those people around me, those people who don't know Jesus, getting the opportunity through you and through other people to get the opportunity to choose whether they want to follow Jesus and be part of him. Because that's the life I love and want to be and follow. But what is God actually asking you to do? What he's asking you to do is going to be unique. And we all have a part to play. And we all have our part to play in the team. You may love meeting and gathering people. Do that. Throw a party. Have a barbecue. Or maybe you just bring people to places and let other people do the talking. Do that. Or you may support other people, arranging, catering, hospitality. Do that. Whatever your skills are, whatever your personality, whatever your expertise, just use it. And like the friends who took the paralyzed man through the roof, we can also step out in faith. Believe for people that do not believe it themselves. Connect together and work together and go through the roof for people. I mean, we have to have persistence. We have to sacrifice our time and our money. And we do that so people don't just disappear or we don't have the time to decide to notice them. So, let's be a people and a community of faith who actually go through the roof for our friends. I pray, Lord, you just stir in our hearts the friends and relatives and people who don't know you. And stir in our hearts and give us the skills and the love to show to others, Lord, I pray.